markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are falling as investors scale down their optimism for less hawkish central banks and seek more evidence that inflation is moderating. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 36 points. Dow futures down 288 and NASDAQ futures down 113. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. The 10-year Treasury down 18/32nds, yield 3.70%. Yield on the two-year, 4.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 27 cents at $86.25 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% or $13.50 at $17.17 an ounce. The euro 0.9928 against the dollar. British pound 1.1399. The yen 144.41 and Bitcoin is down 1.25% at $20,000. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden is traveling to Florida today. Biden will pledge that federal, state, and local governments will work as one to help rebuild homes, businesses, and lives destroyed by Hurricane Ian. Former President Donald Trump wants the U.S. Supreme Court to look into government papers seized at his Mar-a-Lago home. Trump is asking the justices to let a court-appointed special master review 100 documents with classified markings. In baseball, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the season to break Roger Maris's AL record. It happened in Game 1 as the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Rangers. The Mets swept a doubleheader against the Nationals, but the Braves still clinched the NL East with a win over the Marlins. The Red Sox and A's won. The Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a closer look at this market now. For that, we're joined by Anika Gupta, Director of Macroeconomic Research at WisdomTree. Anika, it's great to speak with you this morning as we watch futures fall after two straight days of gains to start off the fourth quarter. Is this a change in sentiment or be back to the kind of gloomy feeling we had before the rally?
Very good morning, Nathan. Yes, I think, we've opened October and, the third quarter with larger hopes of a Fed pivot. We had a risk on market rally yesterday, largely predicated on the fact that the Fed would turn. Today, however, we're back to risk off because there are a number of factors that are still weighing on sentiment. You know, we've got the all important OPEC meeting. We've also seen, some of the data that is coming in, showing that, we're not likely to see the Fed turn as quickly as previously anticipated, because we still need to get the Fed's jobs, the jobs numbers coming in on Friday, for a bit more direction and clarity on the strength of the labor market. And, I think the decision by OPEC is also weighing heavily on sentiment because, previously, the anticipation was that we would be getting production cuts expected in the range of about a million barrels per day. But now they've hiked those discussions all the way up to about 2 million barrels per day. And that would, again, signify considerable pressure on the inflation side, which would be coming from higher energy prices.
What's your call on the impact that would have on inflation and the economic growth picture more broadly if we did get that kind of outsized production cut from OPEC Plus after the meeting today?
Well, there are two things to consider here, Nathan. You know, the first thing is while that cut, if they do go ahead with a cut as large as, 2 million barrels per day, that would have more of a psychological impact on the market, because in reality, the impact is a lot less than the official headline number, because several members are already pumping far below their official quotas, which means they automatically will be in compliance with this new headline, production cut limit that they would put into the market. So, I think, you know, from a psychological perspective, it would still be the cartel's largest reduction, you know, since the deep cuts that were agreed at the onset of the COVID pandemic. But the key thing to keep in mind is this decision is coming on a day when the EU has backed a new package of sanctions against Russia, you know, which also includes a price cap on oil sales to third world countries. So, you know, the key focus is it's also in retaliation to this package that is coming in from EU. It's also trying to address the significant disconnect that we have between the physical oil markets and the synthetic oil markets, where, you know, the physical markets are resonating concerns on a supply shortage, whereas the synthetic markets are just resonating concerns on, you know, demand being curbed because of recession concerns.
We only have about 30 seconds left here, Anika, but you did mention the jobs report coming out on Friday. We've seen strength in the labor market continuing. Do you expect that to continue in the payrolls report that comes out the end of the week?
Well, I think we will see some loosening in the jobs data. We're expecting, you know, jobs to grow at about 250,000, unemployment to remain at around 3.6%, and a slight decrease in the average wage growth to around 5.1%. So it still wouldn't signal that the Fed is about to pivot. But it, you know, we believe we're still on track for a 75 basis points rate hike in November. And from then on, you know, we'll start to see a slower, more moderate pace of rate hikes going forward by the Fed.
Thanks so much, Anika. Great getting your thoughts this morning. Anika Gupta, Director of Macroeconomic Research at WisdomTree. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A PayPal investor charges in a proposed class action that many new accounts on PayPal were created by bots and not legitimate first-time customers. A federal class action lawsuit accuses Vanguard Equities of sending spam text messages to consumer cell phones without their consent. The Fifth Circuit ruled that a black teenager lacked proof that her Austin, Texas school district was deliberately indifferent to her complaints about race discrimination.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. In day two of the new term, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case that could deliver another blow to the Voting Rights Act, the 1965 law designed to protect minority voters at the ballot box. The court is considering whether Alabama violated the act by drawing its congressional map in a way that ensures the state will have just one black representative for the next decade, even though 27% of its citizens are black. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to elections law expert Richard Hassan, a professor at UCLA Law School.
This was a nearly two-hour argument. What was the main focus or concern of the justices?
Well, Alabama advanced a number of different arguments. Their most radical argument would essentially rework Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And there was little appetite on the court for issuing an opinion that would overturn decades of precedent and have a whole new approach to the Voting Rights Act. But there was much more interest, at least among some of the conservative justices, especially Justice Alito, in tweaking the existing standards in a way that would make it look like the court is continuing with its application of existing law, but actually changes the standards enough to make it easier for states to win and harder for minority voters to win. The real question is whether or not the other justices would be willing to go along with Justice Alito.
Over the last decade, the Supreme Court has already weakened the Voting Rights Act. It gutted Section 5 of the Act. So is there any chance that this case will be different, or will they just continue on the road they've been on?
So there is certainly a history of the court being hostile to the Voting Rights Act. There was the 2013 case, Shelby County versus Holder, that essentially killed off a major provision of the Voting Rights Act known as Section 5. There was the Brnovich case that held that Section 2 doesn't have a lot of teeth outside of the redistricting context. There are also some other decisions, including a decision a few years ago written by Justice Alito called Abbott versus Perez, case out of Texas, which also weakened the understanding of the Voting Rights Act. So if that pattern holds up, I don't think it's going to be good news for minority voters. I think the real question is not if there's a good chance that the plaintiffs lose. We already know from them taking the case and issuing a stay that that's likely to happen. It's how they lose and how bad it's going to be.
And that's Richard Hasson, a professor at UCLA Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 39 points, Dow futures down 309, and NASDAQ futures down 120. And the 10-year Treasury down 18 32nds, yield 3.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 40 cents at $86.12 a barrel. The euro this morning, 0.9928 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1390. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with Elon Musk reviving his bid to buy Twitter. He'll make the acquisition at the original price of $54.20 a share. Now attention turns to the path ahead for Musk and Twitter. Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says the world's richest man must focus on mending his relationship with the company and its employees.
It's not distrust, it's hate. They hate him. He's created a situation, and I love Elon. You know, I'm a fan and supporter. Don't get me wrong, but I have friends at Twitter, and they hate him. Now, if I'm Twitter, I'm not going to get rid of this lawsuit at all. I'm going to force specific performance on Elon because there's no trust there at all.
Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says Musk is acquiring the company with employee morale at an all-time low. While Twitter shares closed 22% higher yesterday, they're down about 0.5% this morning. Tesla shares also jumped in the news, climbing nearly 3%. And this morning, Tesla's also lower, down 1%.
Yeah, the U.S. futures are lower as well this morning, Karen, following hawkish rhetoric from several central bank officials. Fed Governor Philip Jefferson says reducing inflation will likely require a period of weak growth to ease demand. Also speaking yesterday, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, she stresses the importance of price stability.
Unlike it's a great time to be a worker, workers have all this power, I don't see a lot of power if your real wages are falling 9%. And so that is sort of an example of why inflation is a corrosive, if we let it go, it's a corrosive disease.
And stay tuned for more from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly this morning. We sit down with her for an interview live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 10:15 Wall Street time.
Well, overnight saw stocks in Asia rally for a second straight day, Nathan. Traders are betting that the global monetary policy tightening cycle will soon ease. It's a different story in Europe this morning, where stocks are following U.S. futures lower.
And we're keeping an eye on U.K. politics this morning, Karen. Prime Minister Liz Truss is set to give a speech at the annual Tory conference in Birmingham. It's aimed at reviving her beleaguered premiership.
Well, back here in the U.S., politics are also in focus, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump is asking the Supreme Court to let a court-appointed special master review classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago home. The move escalates the Justice Department's investigation into the former president. And futures this morning are lower. As we said, S&P futures down about 28 points, Dow futures down 232, and NASDAQ futures down 83. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 56 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with a bad accident, Route 80 between exits 57 and 58 in Patterson. Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Mourners will say their final goodbyes to an FDNY EMS lieutenant. Funeral services take place today for Allison Russo Elling in Brookville. She was fatally stabbed last week in an unprovoked attack. The FDNY says Russo Elling, who was 61, will be posthumously promoted to captain today. The New York Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration and local law enforcement announced the results of the first significant seizure of rainbow fentanyl in Manhattan. The seizure of nearly 15,000 pills happened on September 28th when a vehicle under surveillance by the DEA was stopped outside the Lincoln Tunnel, where they discovered the pills hidden in black tote bags and a Lego container. Bridget Brennan is the New York City Special Narcotics Prosecutor.
My office and our partners are committed to disrupting high-level narcotics trafficking by intercepting large loads of lethal drugs and drug proceeds. We do this to protect New Yorkers and to save lives.
Prosecutor Brennan says the person in the car, Letitia Bush of Trenton, New Jersey, was arrested. President Biden will visit Florida today to tour the damage caused by Hurricane Ian. More than 100 people were killed by the storm in the U.S. President Biden gave a stark warning while talking about the Task Force on Reproductive Health Care Access. According to the president, the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade is not enough for the Republican Party. He says if the Republicans win Congress this year, states that retained abortion access rights could lose that as well.
And Congress should codify the protections of Roe and do it once and for all. But right now, we're short a handful of votes. So the only way it's going to happen is if the American people make it happen.
At least 15 states have stopped nearly all abortion services since the Supreme Court abortion ruling in June. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. He did it, John Stanshauer.
Indeed. Nathan, Aaron Judge's pursuit of Roger Maris. Finally over. Number 62 hit in game number 161. It became apparent a few months ago that it might be tough for Judge to reach Barry Bonds' 73, but that Roger Maris' American League record of 61 was in reach. He hit his 60th over 2 weeks ago. It took him 8 games to get to 61, then 5 more games without a homer, including the opener to the doubleheader in Texas. But Judge led off the second game with a shot to left field off the Rangers' Jesus Tinoco. All of his teammates greeted him at home plate, and later Judge was asked what he'll remember about this experience.
Seeing Yankee Stadium on their feet for every single at bat, you know, they're booing pitchers for throwing balls, you know, which I've never seen before. And, you know, I think I got a base hit the other night and I was getting booed for a single. You know, it's just, you know, little moments like that you look back on, you know, would have been great to do it at Yankee Stadium in front of our home fans. But I know a lot of, you know, Yankee fans, they travel well, and there's a lot of Yankee fans here tonight.
Of course, this record got so much attention because it's also the so-called clean record. Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa's seasons all tainted by steroid use. Yankees beat the Rangers 5-4, then lost 3-2. They finished the season today going for their 100th win. And then in the division series, they'll play either Cleveland or Tampa Bay. The Mets swept the doubleheader from Washington 4-2 and 8-0. They've won 100 games, but they'll finish second behind Atlanta, who clinched. So the Mets will face San Diego in the best-of-3 wildcard series at Citi Field that starts on Friday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
The demand for office space continued to fall in August. VTS's monthly tracker of office space demand found demand for new office space in New York fell by 22.8%. Their analysts say companies are still trying to figure out how much space they'll need permanently in a post-pandemic world. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy announced the launch of the state's Clean Buildings Working Group at this week's Clean Energy Conference. The group will bring together stakeholders and experts to inform the decision-making process for greener, cleaner buildings in the Garden State. The co-founders of City Pickle in New York say they discovered pickleball, which combines elements of tennis, badminton, and ping pong, during the COVID lockdown, but were dismayed to learn there were no indoor playing facilities in the city. So they'll open one in Queens sometime in next year's first quarter. Reports call pickleball the fastest growing sport in the country, with 4.8 million players. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thanks, Scott. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about international law firm Clifford Chance reducing its Manhattan office footprint.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Amazon is discontinuing its Amazon Glow Kids video calling device.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about Tupperware, now being sold in Target stores.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WBZ in Boston, I'm reporting on how we could be about to hear more on rules for sports betting.
I'm Caroline Hetke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We've been reporting on the pressure on Prime Minister Liz Truss at the end of a turbulent Conservative Party conference.
I'm Scott Carr on WDCH in Washington. I'm reporting the pandemic almost seemed to help the hospitality industry in one Virginia town.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. After days of insisting there'd be no backtracking on a mini-budget that caused panic in financial markets, the UK government duly reversed itself this week. Prime Minister Liz Truss and Finance Minister Kwasi Kwarteng confirmed on Monday that a promise cut in the top rate of income tax would be cancelled. This sudden reversal could give the administration a second chance, so long as Truss offers further assurances that she'll be cautious. Among other things, this will mean patching things up with the European Union, taking advice from the Office for Budget Responsibility on Taxes and Spending, and consulting the Bank of England on the interaction of fiscal and monetary policy. Investors need to see more signs of prudence from the UK's new government, but reversing a misguided tax plan was a good start. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures moving lower this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain will taper off to showers and should be done by this evening. We'll get up to near 60 degrees. Low 70s with sunshine tomorrow and Friday. Right now, 56 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures and European shares are falling as investors scale down their optimism for less hawkish central banks and sink more evidence that inflation is moderating. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 28 points. Dow futures down 223, and NASDAQ futures down 85. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 18/32nds, yield 3.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 53 cents at $85.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.30 at $17.22.20 an ounce. The euro is at 0.9946 against the dollar. British pound 1.1415. The yen 144.36. And Bitcoin this morning down 1% at $20,130. Today we are watching for a report on private payrolls at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 8:30 it's the trade balance, and at 10 a look at service industries. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Recovery efforts continue in Florida amid the devastation left by Hurricane Ian. President Biden plans to visit the state today. United Airlines is said to be restarting Hong Kong flights as soon as January. It's one of a handful of major airlines to resume passenger flights to the city, which has largely been cut off to the outside world since the start of the pandemic. In baseball, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge hit his 62nd home run of the season to break Roger Maris's American League record. It happened in Game 1 as the Yankees split a doubleheader with the Rangers. The Mets swept a doubleheader against the Nationals, but the Braves still clinched the NL East with a win over the Marlins. The Red Sox and A's won. The Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
62 is the number we're going to be saying for a long, long time. Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. But the other big number of the morning is 5420. That's the amount in dollars per share that Elon Musk now says he will go ahead and purchase Twitter with. $44 billion buyout deal is back on. Capitulation, perhaps? Let's ask Alex Webb, Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent, tech columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Well, at least we know that he's going to avoid a court fight now, Alex, but what's behind it?
It is partly, one assumes, it's hard to know for sure at any one time what Elon is thinking, but one assumes that it is a desire to evade that court fight. The signals weren't looking good heading into it. There had been a number of early hearings, about half dozen, of which Elon had won none of them. He had lost in every single case in terms of trying to push the court hearing back to February, in terms of trying to stop Twitter from getting more data on his communications with his bankers. The judge ruled on Twitter's side every time. It didn't look very good, and therefore why go through the punishment of having to sit on the stand, experience more, frankly, damaging discovery, and end up losing anyway? You might as well just, you know, call a spade and suck it up.
So now does this raise the question that came up even before this court fight was even in the picture, whether Elon Musk can line up the financing for a $44 billion buyout?
It certainly seems as though the financing is in place. The bigger question is how ready are the banks to stomach the fact that the, you know, interest rate environment is considerably different from how it was 6 months ago? It's about $12.5 billion in financing that had been lined up. Some of those unsecured, about $3 billion unsecured. You know, the yields that they had been talking about at the time when they presumably were going to turn around and refinance it with institutional investors were maybe 11.5%. Comparable notes now are going for 15%. So it's a far more challenging environment for them. We've seen some banks take big hits already on other deals that they had agreed financing for before before rates started to go up. You know, there could be some institutions here facing costs in the sort of hundreds of millions of dollars range.
I mean, that just speaks to what the environment looks like for leveraged buyouts more broadly. I mean, are the banks willing to stomach those kind of losses?
I mean, presumably, if they've already committed to doing it, it's hard for them to back out, and you're just going to have to pony it up. Elon is talking about having he's positing a new business models, which one assumes are partly intended at least to assuage some of the concerns that these banks have, but doesn't necessarily mean they're going to avoid any pain whatsoever.
And to your point about the business models, very interesting to see after this deal was announced that it's back on again, Elon Musk tweeting about accelerating the development of X, the Everything app. What is that? What's he talking about?
Well, we don't quite know. It's obviously inevitably something he's posited in the scope of just a single tweet. He's mooted or expressed admiration in the past for services such as WeChat, the Chinese super app owned by Tencent, which is really a portal to not only many Chinese people's online existence, but sometimes their real world existence as well. You can order food, you can pay your bills, go on dating apps, play games, all through this single app. Now, the challenge is that on the one hand, to make that sort of vibrant ecosystem happen, you need to have a lot of developers willing to, and companies willing to bring their products and services to your app. Twitter, with about 200 million daily active users, is far less appealing for a developer than would be, say, the iPhone, which has in the order of 1.5 billion active users, or indeed mobile phones that run Android, Google's equivalent. If it did have that sort of scale, then it starts to encounter maybe some regulatory difficulties. Because if it is, frankly, leaning on companies to bring their services to its app in order to find these users, the regulators, particularly here in Europe, do not like it when you leverage strength in one market to find strength in another one. That is seen as anti-competitive. And so it's a knotty solution. If he can make it happen, then presumably he can deliver a huge amount of value. But it's not an easy path, and not one that, frankly, any company in Europe or the US has managed to achieve just yet.
Wish we had more time. So much to get to when it comes to this story we've been following for so many months, and it's going to continue. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Opinion tech columnist, of course, a correspondent for Bloomberg Quick Take, and taking a look at the shares of Twitter right now, a little bit shy of the $54.20 offer price, down about 0.5% in early trading. As far as Tesla goes, sometimes move in tandem. Tesla shares are down 1.2%. Broader markets lower as well. S&P futures are down 28 points. Dow futures down 231. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 85 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. This rain will taper off. Should be done by this evening. We'll get down up to 60 degrees. Low 70s. Sunshine for the rest of this week. Right now, 56 and cloudy in Central Park. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We have got wet roads this morning. Route 80 is closed both ways in Patterson, and it's 56 degrees right now in Central Park. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a check of what else is going on in New York and around the world this morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The New York Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration and local law enforcement say they've made a significant seizure of rainbow fentanyl in Manhattan. The seizure of nearly 15,000 pills happened on September 28th when a vehicle under surveillance by the DEA was stopped outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Bridget Brennan is New York City's special narcotics prosecutor.
They approached the car and found Letitia Bush in the rear seat with two black tote bags and a yellow Lego container right there. Inside the Lego container were several brick-shaped packages covered in black tape lying next to Lego blocks.
Prosecutor Brennan says Bush was arrested. DEA special agent in charge Frank Tarantino.
This is deliberate. This is calculated. This is treacherous deception to market rainbow fentanyl like candy.
Frank Tarantino with the DNA says with Halloween approaching, these newly packaged poisons are a parent's worst nightmare. Mourners will say their final goodbyes to an FDNY EMS lieutenant. Funeral services take place today for Allison Russo Elling in Brookville. She was fatally stabbed last week in an unprovoked attack. The FDNY says Russo Elling, who was 61, will be posthumously promoted to captain today. President Biden will head to Florida today to meet with Governor Ron DeSantis. Days after Hurricane Ian pounded Florida Southwest, crews are still conducting door-to-door searches for survivors. Fort Myers Beach Mayor Ray Murphy.
Nobody was spared this storm. Every structure on the island was affected.
Mayor Murphy says the city will rebuild. President Biden will be in New York State tomorrow. The president heads to a jobs event hosted by IBM and a pair of fundraisers ahead of November's midterm elections. The White House official says the trip will include a visit to the IBM campus in Poughkeepsie. Biden is later expected to travel to New Jersey for a fundraiser hosted by the Democratic National Committee. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And our real top story this morning from John Stachow.
The Knicks preseason game, that's what we're talking
about. Oh, that's sure. No, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, they've been playing baseball, Nathan, in the American League for 120 years, and the three most home runs in a single season, all by Yankee outfielders. The 60 hit by Babe Ruth, 1927. The 61 hit by Roger Maris, 1961. And now 61 years later, move over, Roger Maris. Aaron Judge led off the second game of a doubleheader in Texas.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him.
WFAN, it came off the Rangers. Jesus Tinoco, his third pitch of the game, a slider that Judge hit to the left field stands, caught there by a guy who's apparently a wealthy banker, and so far anyway, holding on to the ball. Judge's season, amazing. 23 more home runs than anyone else in the league. Only 44 fewer home runs than the entire Detroit Tigers. And oh, by the way, he's going to be a free agent after the season. Yankees split the doubleheader. They learned their opponent in the division series will be the winner of the wild card series between Cleveland and Tampa Bay. Mets learned their opponent in their wild card series this weekend at Citi Field will be the San Diego Padres. Mets swept the doubleheader from Washington, but Atlanta clinched the NL East with a win in Miami. The Islanders locked up Matthew Barzell, new 8-year, $73 million contract. John Stachia, we're Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures right now are down 29 points. Dow futures down 238. NASDAQ futures are lower by 92 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 18/32. The yield, 3.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.12%. And NYMEX crude right now down 0.6% at $86.02 a barrel. Musk and Twitter back together again. We check in next with Bloomberg's Alex Webb. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Rain tapers off to showers this afternoon. Breezy, cool with a high near 60 degrees. Clearing out tomorrow, getting back into the low 70s, and we'll keep it there on Friday. Right now, 56 in Central Park.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Elon Musk agrees to buy Twitter and provides a glimpse of his plans for the social media network.
Liz Truss addresses her party as the prime minister works to get her economic agenda back on track.
And the Fed won't let up. Officials signal no plans to slow interest rate hikes.
New York City authorities and the DEA announce a big bust of rainbow fentanyl. Plus, President Biden heads to Florida today to look at Hurricane Ian's destruction. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports baseball history. Aaron Judge in his record-breaking 62nd home run. The Atlanta Braves clinched the NL East.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/managers.
And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're at 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 28 points this morning. Dow futures down 233. And NASDAQ futures down 94. The 10-year Treasury down 19/32, yield 3.71%. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get back to markets in a minute. But first, we begin with Elon Musk reviving his bid to buy Twitter. He will make the acquisition, after all, at the original price of $54.20 a share. Now, attention turns to the path ahead for Musk and Twitter. Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says the world's richest man could be in for a bumpy ride.
He's paying the highest price possible. He's trying to get debt at the worst time possible. He's basically being forced to buy this company. It's not like he changed of heart. I think his lawyers just told him he was going to lose. This is a mess.
Ross Gerber with Gerber Kawasaki says Musk is acquiring the company with employee morale at an all-time low. Twitter shares closed 22% higher yesterday. Tesla shares jumped on the news as well. They climbed nearly 3%. This morning, Tesla is down about 1% in early trading.
Well, turning to the broader markets now, Nathan, U.S. futures are lower following 2 days of gains. Optimism for so-called Fed pivot may be waning. Phil Palumbo, CEO with Palumbo Wealth Management, says this week's gains are likely a bear market rally.
To reduce some of the risk with vol, we've been investing in cash right now, and we're taking advantage of volatility. As we're in this bear market, as we believe things will get worse, we'll put those monies to work in good quality businesses as long-term investors.
And Phil Palumbo with Palumbo Wealth Management says he expects inflation to fall from here, but he also predicts the volatility will continue.
Now, the drop in futures, Karen, follows more hawkish rhetoric from several central bank officials. Fed Governor Philip Jefferson says reducing inflation will likely require a period of weak growth to ease demand. Also speaking yesterday, San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, who called inflation a corrosive disease.
Right now, the pain that I hear every day, the suffering that people tell me they're going through, is on the inflation side. And this is true of low and moderate income people, not just people who are worried that inflation expectations will drift. They're worried about their day-to-day living.
Now stay tuned for more from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly. We'll sit down with her for an interview live on Bloomberg Radio and Television coming up at 10:15 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, Nathan, overnight saw stocks in Asia rally for a second straight day. Traders are betting that the global monetary policy tightening cycle will soon ease. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The regional benchmark index climbed as much as 1.8%, led by a surge in consumer discretionary and tech stocks like TSMC and Alibaba. And that brought the measure's two-day rally to more than 4%, the best two-day gain since March. Stocks in Hong Kong, the region's best performers, the benchmark Hang Seng index jumping more than 5% as trading resumed following a holiday. And the Kiwi and New Zealand bonds rallied as the RBNZ followed up with yet another 50 basis point hike, the fifth in a row. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg. Daybreak.
Okay, Juliet, thanks. Turning to Europe now, we have an eye on UK politics this morning. Prime Minister Liz Truss is set to give a speech aimed at reviving her beleaguered premiership. She will address her Conservative Party at the annual Tory conference in Birmingham. Bloomberg's James Woolcock is there and joins us with the very latest. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Liz Truss's honeymoon is over. Now, after a humiliating U-turn and market chaos, she needs to prove to the Conservative Party that elected her only a month ago that she can actually lead the government. She'll acknowledge that struggle in her speech, saying, "Wherever there is change, there is disruption." But even ahead of that speech, divisions in her party are coming to light. Even members of the Prime Minister's top team are in open disagreement over what to do next. In Birmingham, I'm James Woolcock, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, James, thank you. To politics here in the U.S. now, where Donald Trump is back in focus. The former president is asking the Supreme Court to let a court-appointed special master review classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago home. The move escalates the Justice Department's investigation into whether Trump or his aides illegally took sensitive government records when he left office and obstructed repeated efforts to recover them.
In New York, Karen, we got word Micron Technology plans to invest as much as $100 billion over the next 20 years to build a factory in the state. It's the latest bid to boost U.S. production of memory chips. Governor Kathy Hochul says it will create about 50,000 jobs in New York State.
We believe that this is going to be a catalyst, not just for this company and jobs to come here, but also the supply chain companies that'll say, you know, I don't want to manufacture overseas. There's so many disruptions.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, turning to corporate news now, Nathan, Amazon is pausing hiring for corporate positions in its retail business. It's the latest sign that Amazon is adjusting its workforce to slowing online sales. Sources say the company will pause recruitment until the end of the year. The freeze does not apply to its warehouse network, where most of its employees work.
And Karen, e-cigarette manufacturer Juul has begun talks for funding for a potential Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That's according to people with knowledge of the preparations. They aren't final. The plans could change. A Juul spokesman says the company is still considering other avenues. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving lower. We see S&P futures right now down 33 points. Dow futures are down 262, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 103 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 18 32nds, yield 3.70%, yield on the 2-year 4.12. NYMEX crude's down 0.6% at 86.01 a barrel, and the British pound at 1.1414 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.